The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. Hey, just want to say thanks for listening. And if you're a newbie, hey, check it out. Check out the show. It's a different kind of a talk show. And, boy, how come that's not working? How come? Oh, there it is. Good. And so what we do is we answer questions on all kinds of stuff. So if you have questions, give me a call. We can talk about philosophy, evolution, UFOs, the occult, Christian theology, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, all kinds of stuff like talking and teaching. So if you have questions about that, you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Today is, let's see, for the podcasters, today is July 25th. So for the podcasters, all right, there you go. And we have nobody waiting online. And just want to let you know that we do stay on the air by your support. And if you'd be so kind, we ask $5 a month. I hope that's not too much to ask. I wonder how many of you out there are thinking about doing it and just haven't. Well, would you? Would you think about it? And pray about it as well, because we do need that support. All right. Now we've got nobody waiting. So what I might do is, I like to do this. You can't hear me. How come you can't hear me? Oh, I got to switch. That's right. Oh, yeah, yeah. So many things to do. Okay, I'll switch. I do a lot of switch flipping. Be careful how I say stuff. And so that's what I have to do is get people ready and get my things ready. And there you go. Now I should be on there. No problem. Okay, sorry about that. If you want to give me a call, all right, 877-207-2276. I'm going to have to develop a list of things. Man, wow. There's just so much to do. All right, yay, says someone. If you want to watch the show and you want to watch me do the show and participate in an after show, we do that almost every day. You can just go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, all one word, Matt Slick Live. And you can join us. We have people calling in from all over. We've had them from Greece and Russia and Japan and, I don't think we've had it on any island groups. We've had somebody from Australia before, I think. But at any rate, we're from all over. We have people calling from all over. All right. Hey, I just got to give you a heads up. I'll not be on the air Friday or Monday. I have to be out of town for a little bit of a gig, and I'll be teaching. And I'm going to be at a funeral and stuff like that. So no, won't be on Friday, won't be on Monday. All right, there you go. Just giving you a heads up. And that's it. So what about us getting on the air with, I'm going to get on with Nancy from Ohio. So let's just jump on with Nancy. Nancy, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Do I repeat my question?
Well, I didn't hear it, so what's your question?
Okay. In Dayton, Ohio, Whole Foods grocery stores are implementing a cashless system, and where you go in and you're scanning the palm of your hand. It's called what? Amazon One. Have you heard of this?
No. Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Amazon One?
Yes.
Amazon One, a fast, convenient, contactless way to use your palm. Sign up today. Visit on Amazon.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, yeah, do you think that's going to be the beginning of the mark of the beast?
Oh, man. It could be the beginning of it. There's lots of things that people have said is the beginning of. So, you know, the palm of the hand, I could see doing that, and okay, convenient. It's not taking the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is that you can't buy or sell without it. Now, that's the problem. But really, cashless. Sheesh. And they won't take cash anymore. How about cards? Will they take cards?
Said anything about a card, but when I first saw it, my mouth just dropped open. Because they showed them scanning the palm of their right hand.
You know, it's not the mark of the beast, but it's making me nervous. Just now, pretty soon they're going to say, instead of the palm, now just do this chip embedded in the back of your right hand or your forehead. Like, okay, now I'm not doing that. You know, it's start growing my own food someplace. But I don't know. This is tough. Well, I didn't know about that. That's interesting. I'll have to check it out.
Yes, it was on our local news, and I was sitting there, and my mouth just dropped open. I thought, oh, my Lord. And so you might want to check it out. It's on Amazon One and see what you think about it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to do some looking, some research on it. Oh, man. You know, I don't have a problem with a credit card and scanning a credit card, scanning your watch. You can do it that way. You know, and then you have things with fingerprints. I can set up a finger. Well, I do. I have it on my phone, a fingerprint set up for security. And, okay, well, you know, what if they said, well, just put your palm there okay. So far, it's okay, but it makes me nervous. It just makes me nervous.
Me nervous. And, you know, I had to really feel it. You know, I felt fear come in, and I thought, I'm a child of God, and fear is not of God. And so I really had to pray about it for God to give me peace with it and give me boldness and give me courage.
Yeah, it does make me nervous, but I'm definitely going to look into it. I've got to. Okay. I'm going to do that.
Okay, thank you for taking my call, and check it out and see what you think.
Yes, I will. I appreciate you telling me about that, okay? I do.
All right. Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye. You too. God bless. Man, it's just getting closer and closer. Oh, okay. Let's get on with Kathy from Richmond, Virginia. Kathy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
So I've been studying... Echo here.
What do
I get the echo?
A little bit. Oh, excuse me. Yep.
Oh, anyway, I've been studying Torah from a Messianic group for about the last 5 years, and we go to the room every week. And there's a lesson, and there's one part of the lesson I really don't understand. And I just thought, if anybody could shed light on it, maybe you can. And the discussion is about the Clementine homilies and the oneness of God and the 6 days of creation, how it's misunderstood. And I have spent most of my day today trying to figure it out from what the information that they've given us, but it's too confusing. I don't understand.
It's bad news. They reject the Trinity and the deity of Christ. It's cultic. Okay.
The Clementine homilies do.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of like that from what I read. But does that mean that the whole, like it says, discussion in Clementine homilies and the oneness of God and the 6 days of creation... How is it misunderstood? How is it misconstrued?
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, it's paganism. That's all it is. Okay.
Oh,
okay. It's bad news. Where are you where are you finding this out? Is it a Bible study? What was it? I'm sorry.
It's a study of the Torah it's called Torah Club, and it's with a Messianic group that teaches, pretty much international group, and we have a small group together, about 14 or 15 of us, Zoom online once a week, and it's been really interesting. I mean, I've been doing it for the last 5 years, and I've learned a lot, but it's getting to the point where...
Let me ask you, are they now saying that you need to study the Clementine homilies?
No, it's just bringing it up. It's not saying that we have to study it.
Why are they bringing it up?
it's brought up just for so that we can understand what comes up, what we're dealing with.
Okay, I'm confused. Your phone's... Hold on. Your phone's breaking up a little bit, so I'm confused on what's going on here. So are you saying they're addressing it so that you... And they're saying it's bad and be prepared for it because it's bad? Or what?
The question is, how can it... Why is it easily misconstrued?
What's the it?
It's just bad.
I'm sorry, the what?
You said it's just bad, so not about...
No. I just need... I'm sorry. You said it's being misconstrued. I just want to know what the word is that it is referring to. What's the it? What is supposed to be bad? What's the it?
John and Ken Henry discussing the oneness of God. In the 6 days of creation, how is that misunderstood? What I saw was looking at it.
I'm really confused. How is that misunderstood? I don't understand what it is you're asking. I'm lost. What's your question? Let's try it again. Let's just try that. Start over. What's your question? Let's try that.
Okay. This is a discussion that we're having tomorrow. And the discussion is about Clementine families and the oneness of God and the 6 days of creation, that it's misconstrued and
what's the
discussing
it? What's the it? What's the it that's misconstrued? Because the reason you're confusing me is because you said two things and then say singular it. So... the Trinity and the 6 days of creation are two things. Then you said it's misconstrued.
Okay.
So that's why one of the reasons I'm confused. So what is
what I understood, but the Clementine homily was saying that the Trinity was not accurate. In other words, they were putting down the Trinity. That was my understanding. But
okay. Yeah, the Clementine homilies are pagan. They teach false doctrine. Yeah, so why would your group's going to study out of these? Go through.
Just because it's coming up in what we're studying in Deuteronomy right now.
Why? Okay, I'm really confused here. Why would the Clementine homilies surface while you're studying Deuteronomy?
So the assignment we're doing this week is on Deuteronomy 3:23-7:11, and it's
so
about
the Shema, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm, right, exactly.
I get it.
The jealous God. There is no other.
Okay, you know what? Our connection is not very good, and it's really making it difficult to follow you. Could you call back and maybe get a better connection? Because it's muffled, and I'm straining, and just trying to hear you, okay? Could call right back, okay?
And I'm from FOT, so the connection is not good.
Well, hold on. You get the call back. You're so muffled now. It's just call back, okay, Kathy? Call back. All right, we'll get into that. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, and we can blab. So hope to hear from you. Let's get to David from North Carolina. David, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Back in the 70s and 80s, I was in the Worldwide Church of God. It was led by Herbert Armstrong and Ted Armstrong. Mm-hmm. It was a cult,
correct,
but it profoundly affected my life and some of the decisions I made. And for about a 10 to 15 year period after I left the Worldwide Church of God, I still had effects from some of the cultic doctrine that they taught.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the Karm Forum forums, and I went to the cult section, and they list a number of cults, but none of them list Armstrongism. And Armstrongism is still alive and well in our country today. It's no longer the Worldwide Church of God. It's a splinter group of so many different churches of God that teach what Herbert Armstrong taught.
Right.
And I just wish y'all would add that to your webpage. Armstrongism is what they call it. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not, but it was a big cult back in the 70s and 80s.
Yes, I'm very aware of it, and I've dealt with them in person. And so Armstrongism was non-Christian cult, denied the doctrine of the Trinity, denied Jesus Christ as God in flesh, and denied salvation by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. This is non-Christian cult.
Mm-hmm.
Herbert W. Armstrong, Worldwide Church of God. It was a split.
Yeah, Herbert Armstrong.
Right. There was a split 20 years ago, 25 years ago, there was a split, and some of them actually moved towards orthodoxy, but there's plenty of offshoots that retained the false doctrines of what they are. Yep. And we don't have the section on the forums because it just really rarely comes up. I know they're still around, but it just doesn't come up. If people need it, then we put in a subsection. They can talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, I hope it can be added to Karm forums because I got friends that are still in some of the splinter groups, and I would love to direct them to Karm forums. And by the way, as an aside, I have several JW friends, and I talk to them a lot, but I'm not able to share the gospel as well as you do, so I don't always win. So I just hope that you can find something for Armstrongism.
Okay, well, appreciate that. You said, it's not an issue of winning. It's an issue of truth and promoting Christ. One of the things I'd recommend.
Right, and I fail sometimes on that regard because I don't know how to answer some of their doctrine.
That's okay. You can, and I fail too. So if you want, you could just write down some of their questions and challenges and give a call on the show and see if I can deal with it. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to play the role of a JW. There are
No. It's not playing a role. No, it's not playing a role. It's just, here's what they said, and then you just give it to me, and I'll try and answer it. Okay?
Okay. Well, can I ask you one question then on on that?
Sure.
There in the Old Testament where it calls Jesus the Mighty God, and I think it's in Isaiah, say that Jehovah is Almighty God, and that Jesus is Mighty God.
Right.
How do you answer that?
You go to Isaiah 10:21, okay? And it says, a remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. And you ask him, who is that? And you read the context, which is the verse before it, of course. Now, in that day, the remnant of Israel and those who of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will rely on the Lord, or on Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. The remnant will return, a remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. So I ask him, who's the mighty God there? And it has to be the Father to them. Okay.
They say it's Jesus.
Well, you see, if they say
Jesus was God's first created being.
Hold on. One thing, I know what they teach. Hold on. Stick on this, okay? If they say, well, the mighty God there is Jesus, then you say, oh, so they're returning to Jesus? Is that who it is? The remnant of Jacob is returning to Jesus. Is that what you're saying in the Old Testament? And not Yahweh?
Okay, I'll try that.
All right. Now, as far as first created thing, okay, go to Karm, my website, and look up the word firstborn. And you can go to the Jehovah's Witness section. Firstborn, which is prototokos. Okay, prototokos. Okay, that's what it is. And they'll say that it means that it's the first created. No, protiktas is the first word for first created. It doesn't mean firstborn. It doesn't mean first created. And you can Go to the Karm site, look up the issue of firstborn of all creation out of Colossians 1:15, and read through the article, and you will see that firstborn is a transferable title. Because Joseph is called, he called the name of the firstborn Manasseh in Genesis 41:51. But in the second son is Ephraim. But in Jeremiah 31:9, Ephraim is called the firstborn. You can prove to
them. Do you understand, though, where I'm coming from? Because
yes, I do.
I don't have the words on my lips like you do.
You don't need them.
In a real-time debate, I can't do very well.
You don't need them. Do you have a Bible? You have a Bible?
Yes.
Okay. You can write notes in the back of the Bible. Or, if you want, what I recommend you do is, if you have a computer, is type up a few notes in small font, and you print them up on a page, and you fold it up and you keep it with you. That's all. You don't have to be memorizing all of this stuff. Not necessary. All right? That's what I used to do. I used to have a piece of paper with verses, and I would fold it up and put it in my pocket, and then I learned after doing it for a while, I didn't need to open it up anymore because I would memorize where stuff was. And that's all you do. Yeah. And so, and
you know, I want to tell you this. Just so you'll know, but I was in the Worldwide Church of God 10 years, and after I left it, even for years after leaving it, I would go through periods where I would get down on my knees and pray to God and say, God, please help me see the truth, because I still had a feeling that maybe I had left the one true church behind, and I was so scared that I was going to end up wrong after I die, and I would go to hell for being doing my time in the Worldwide Church of God and not keeping the Sabbath anymore, or something, you know. And I had good Christian friends in that were trying to walk me through it, because I started attending Sunday, keeping church, but there for a long time, you know, it was tough, because I didn't want to die. Now, the Worldwide Church of God didn't teach ever-burning hellfire. But they taught annihilationism. But I still feared fire, because they did say the wicked would be burned to stubble, and that the righteous would tread the unrighteous ashes. And, you know, they taught total annihilation. And I still feared that. And
well, you're
I don't eat anymore, but...
I'm glad you're out of it. But look, we got a break coming up. We got a break coming up. So we have to get going, okay? Sorry, it's a hard break there. But thanks for calling, and keep listening and call again, okay, brother? All right, man. God bless.
Okay, you take care.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. All right, bottom of the hour, let's get on with Ed from Virginia. Ed, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right.
You're talking about the Amazon One. Just two or three months ago, I heard on the radio that a guy in Sweden had a scientist developed a microchip and injected it into himself first, and now thousands of Swedes are injecting this microchip. And accepting this microchip, and the company can't make them fast enough.
Wow. You know, with the demise of Christianity and the leadership in America, and with the woke idiocy going on, and the leftist agenda, and the rise of the alphabet mob, when it comes to America that commerce must be done by this chip, the Christians are going to suffer greatly. It's going to happen.
Yeah, at this point, it's not so much commerce as they can turn their lights on, they can do all this stuff in the house, they can have all their medical information, everything like that on there. But, yeah. I mean, I can see that just becoming, you know, economic for sure.
It's a problem. And what are we going to do? It's, you know, it makes me want to buy a cabin out, you know, on a lake someplace and you know, put a barbed wire and leave me alone kind of thing. But it's coming. You know, it's coming. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Well, the scary thing is the digital currency. That way they're just going to be able to control everything.
Absolutely.
Go to a digital currency that they control. And,
that's right.
And they said that, you know, they may dupe a lot of people by saying, hey, for $1, we can give you 100 digital currencies, you know.
Right. This is why I'm looking into gold backs, and I think a lot of people should look into them. Gold backs are money that is actually gold. They're flimsy, like paper is, but they have gold embedded in them. And different states are now producing them. Utah, Idaho, where I live, is going to do it soon. Wyoming has a couple other states have done it, and they're actual legal tender. Legal currency. There are a lot of people who are aware of the danger of having a digital setup, because then whoever's in control of the digital setup can control everything about you. They can just turn off your bank account. That's it. You spent too much money, or you didn't, or you donated to karm.org. Therefore, we have to punish you.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yep. And we get checks in the mail. And we get sometimes cash in the mail and support. That'll have to stop. And then that way, anybody comes in, and then they'll come and they'll say things like, you can't say what you say about homosexuality being a sin against God, which I believe it is. Oh, sorry. Now you can't pay for your internet provider. That'll be shut off. This is the kind of stuff that's coming.
Yeah it's scary, but, well, you and I have different views. I don't think I'll be here, but you might think you'll be here.
I hope you're right.
In either case,
right.
Our hope is in the Lord.
Yeah, they say pray for prepare for post, and that's the way to live. Yeah. Don't put your hope in pre-trib rapture, but I hope it happens. I hope on the way up people are rubbing it in. Hey, you were wrong. Oh, praise God. That'd be nice. Yeah, but, you know, like the Bible says.
I got it.
Be persecuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, got a couple of questions on evangelism.
Yeah,
and it's something I struggle with. We did some missionary work in an Asian country, a Buddhist country, and very careful. I mean, what we did was we basically laid the seed of foundation, went through the Old Testament, pointing to Christ, so firm foundations, that type of thing, creation to Christ. And it was neat, we saw young people accepting Christ, and we got to know us, saying, I want to become a Christian. But the big thing I saw was, and I was scared of, was, trying to win Buddhists. Countries like Thailand and Japan are very, very, very difficult soil.
Yes,
and we never said, hey, who wants to get saved, raise their hand, that type of thing. And so I was very careful. I said, okay, this person says, I want to become a Christian. Okay, why do you want to become a Christian? Okay, what's it mean to you? What do you understand now, that what we've been teaching? And then I would go back to the Old Testament, not the blood of goats or blood of rams, but by his own blood. I wouldn't go straight to Christ. I'd go to the old temple and sacrifice and then bring Christ into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the thing, I don't believe in quote-unquote lordship salvation. My gospel presentation was, okay, do you believe Jesus died for you? You believe you're a sinner? You rose from the dead? Now, if you believe that, Jesus said one thing to his disciples. He said, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to follow Christ with your life? And that was how I would end my gospel presentation.
Good.
And I would give them the challenge. Okay, you believe these things, but are you ready to commit yourself and follow Christ?
Right.
Now, we had other groups that came out of a church in Chicago who claimed to win 300, 400, Buddhists a week, because they had this quick evangelism raising, and sometimes we'd hang around them and we'd feel like, what are we doing wrong? Because in our groups, we had a survey and we found out that typically we're winning 2 people to Christ a year in our Baptist group, and that was usually at camp with young people.
Okay.
So what is, I never wanted, I was like, well, we'd get jealous because they'd brag about winning 300, but then we were like, that can't be right, not in this country. And, maybe back in Acts, or maybe in a, you know, in the Philippines or a country where the hearts are, you know, prepared because they're familiar with God, but not in the Buddhist country. So what's the proper approach to that?
Let's address what you're saying first. So we have a lot of people. It's possible that they are getting those conversions. It's possible. It's possible they're not getting those conversions. So we have to look at both and say, and I would just go to them and say, what are you saying? Please give me the presentation that you're giving to them. That's what I would do.
Well, I've been out, quote unquote, soul winning with that group, and I came back when I was at Bible college, and I came back. We just won 10 to the Lord. I said, wait a minute, I didn't see any repentance. I didn't see. Well, they prayed the sinner's prayer. I'm like, I don't see any proof there. You know, I don't see any real.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, this thing called the sinner's prayer is not in Scripture.
And right. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, there is a sinner's prayer, but there's not the sinner's prayer. And right. So, you know, Jesus said, well, here's what I do. I'll just put it this way. When I preach, I teach three things: law, gospel, and the cost. The law, you've lied, you're guilty. The gospel, Jesus can save you from the consequence of your sins. And the cost, you better know what you're getting into because it can cost you everything. And it's a threefold thing. That's what I teach. That's what I do. They have to know. And so I don't know what these other people are doing. Just say the prayer. You say the prayer. Okay, good. You're in. What they're doing is formula salvation. And it's almost sorcery. Now, I'm not saying it is. I'm not trying to relate that. But when you say a certain sentence and that's what gets you saved, we have to be careful that we're not, inviting a sorcery kind of a thing by just saying certain things. This is what happens. Now you're saved. See, it's all done. Okay, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So I'd be very careful.
That's interesting you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting you say cost, because in the country I was in, the eldest male in the house would have to become a monk to make merit for his parents. So it was very hard to win males because they knew the cost of that.
Yeah, it's difficult. I would appeal to broader concepts, like the idea of what is right and wrong, and the absolutes of right and wrong, and what must be there for the absolute right and wrong to be there, and then talk about the nature of well, it's a truth statement that murder is wrong, and but we all know that. Why do we all know that? Where does it come from? What has to be there for that to be true? You see, it's the one God who says so. He reveals it. And so I do that way with the Eastern mystic type. I come in sideways and talk about what's called universals. Because everybody believes in universals. Universals like chairness, goodness, roundness.
Right.
Well, there's don't murder-ness. There's don't steal-ness. There's these concepts. Mm-hmm. What must be in place in order for these things to be true? And I ask people these things. You believe them, but why? Why are they true? Well, does your religious system provide the universal condition for them? I say something else does. So, hey, I don't know if you want to continue, but we've got a break coming up. Do you want to talk? If you do, I'll put you on hold. And if not, we'll go on. Okay?
Yeah. I've got one more thing to add.
Okay. I'll put you on hold. We'll be right back, folks. After these messages, please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Last segment of the hour, if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Ed from Virginia. All right. You had one more question. Go ahead.
Yeah, just an interesting side note. One thing we learned after many years was, you know, in America, we take this concept of apologetic, and you know, if I can win the argument, then maybe I'll win you. But what we found out in Asian countries, is that they have the concept of losing face. Right. And what we found out is if you give them really hard questions and you win the argument, they walk away and you've lost them.
Right.
And you've really mm-hmm. lost the opportunity to be a witness. And I remember a missionary, you know, approached a Buddhist and he said, you know, if I want to be your Buddhism teaches that sin is sin, destiny is destiny, and then there's merit making. There's three compartments. So if I want to be a good Buddhist and go to heaven, what must I do? And they say, well, make merit. And he said, well, wait a minute. You have three separate compartments, and one is destiny, which you say is already determined. So how can merit making change that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the person walks away because they don't understand their own belief system or how to answer right. that. And so we were asking a pastor, how do you deal with that? And they said, well, you have to come to a point where you say, instead of saying, well, you're wrong, they have won the argument, you've lost them, you have to come to agreement. Okay, can we both agree that there's a contradiction here? Because this is what you're saying, and this is what Jesus says. So it took many years to understand that you can't argue like an American and can't use apologetics in some of these countries because losing face is such a big, big issue there.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I have learned to do over the years is to ask questions. I will even ask, is it okay to atheists in American culture? I can do this, for example, even with some Christians. I'll say, is it okay with you if I try and set you up? And they'll say, yes, go ahead. And then I give it a shot. Now, I wouldn't say the same thing in that culture over there. I'd say, is it okay with you if I try and ask some questions that I think are difficult? And that way, they're giving you permission. And then I would put a statement of truth inside a question to see, give them the option of weighing it and point them ultimately to the truth by dealing with, I just think, universals are true, and it's called presuppositionalism. You deal with the presuppositions that they have, and you can't just knock down the pillars that hold down up their presuppositions because it's just too complicated in that cultural context. It has to be done little by little, and they have to, just like you said, save face. They have to be able to think it's their idea. We're not trying to manipulate them to make them think it's their idea. But they need to see it so that it is a product of their thinking as well by guiding them through things, which is why sometimes I'll ask them, do you mind if I give you a set of questions or if I try this and try and show you something? And if you disagree, that's okay. But is it okay with you if I try? And if they say, well, no, I'm not interested, okay, I'm done.
Right.
And
is that you going to Japan soon?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I hope so. Yeah.
I wish I could go with you. I spent a few weeks in Japan doing ministry work, and it's great. I really enjoyed it. It's a great country.
Yeah, never been there.
Very humble people.
Yeah, one of my daughters speaks Japanese. She just loves everything Japanese.
Oh, wow.
And taught herself with the classes and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I need to go and like to speak in some churches there. There are some churches and stuff like
there
that.
There are. They're small. Know. They're small, but there are some good churches. I spent 2 years as a Marine there, so I spoke some of the language growing up as a Marine. A couple years there, I studied Japanese a bit, but I did do a missionary trip. Really enjoyed it. Well, I'll let you go, Matt. Thank you so much. Good
okay,
talking
brother.
To you.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Phil from Charlotte, North Carolina. Phil, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there? Hello, Phil. I'm not hearing anything, so I don't know what the deal is. You got to give me a heads up here. Let me put him on hold, and then I'll put him back on. And Phil, if you want to call again, or I heard a noise, so I'm waiting. Give him a chance. Tell you what, Phil, why don't you call back, all right, we're having a problem, or tell you what, I'll put on hold, and maybe the producer can tell me if he's back on, he says ready, and I'll check. We'll try that, because sometimes there's a phone issue or on either end. No, not a big deal, we'll just work with it. All right, now, that's a good idea right there. I'm thinking about some stuff here. I think what I'm going to do, we lost him, so I guess That's the way that is. We're still on. Good. All right. If you want to give me a call, we have 10 minutes. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And if you want, you can also email me, and that's real easy to do. Just info@carm.org. info@carm.org. You can say just a radio question or radio comment, and like the ones I'm looking at right now. Good evening, Matt Slick. My question is that Pentecostal pastors teach that the only condition a Christian would not lose a salvation is if you commit a slip-up, boo-boo type of sin. Now, if you commit a willful sin or habitual sin, will you lose your salvation? No. Everybody commits habitual sin. Everybody does. You see, our salvation is not dependent on how good we are. That's what the cult of the oneness Pentecostals are teaching. That if you're good, you'll keep yourself right with the infinitely bad God. If you're not good, you'll lose it. So it depends on your goodness. That's how you keep yourself right with God. So do we habitually sin? Well, yeah, we do. Pride is a bad thing, and it's something I've always kind of struggled with. I don't know about you guys, but I got a little bit of that in me, maybe more than I think. And I struggle with the idea of selfishness and pride and stubbornness and things like that. They kind of go together. And on a daily basis, I'm doing things, and sometimes I do things just because I'm dumb, and sometimes out of ignorance, and sometimes not, and I don't lose my salvation because I don't do perfectly. Jesus is the one who lived perfectly, and I rest in Him. I struggle against my sin, and it's certainly not okay. But everybody habitually sins. And if people want to say that they don't sin anymore, you're just a fool. But if you recognize that you struggle and that you do have difficulties, then you're falling back into things. You got to understand your struggle against sin, even your failure in it, doesn't mean your failure doesn't mean that you're not saved. Your struggle against it is a sign of being saved. Let's get to Chuck from Burlington someplace. Hey, welcome, Chuck. You're on the air.
Yep, thank you, Matt. It's North Carolina.
Okay.
I remember watching this year the 4th of July celebration, and the only time I remember God being mentioned was the host, the guy who used to be on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the host saying, "May God continue to bless America." That's it. It was sad.
Yeah, because it's out of fashion to be Christian. It's in fashion to attack Christianity, to mock it, to condemn it, to belittle it, to portray Christians as bigots, homophobes, unrighteous, intolerant, unloving. That's what is being promoted. And the Christians are allowing it, and they need to protest. And they don't.
And John...
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And John MacArthur mentioned, I was listening to him the other night, he mentioned that they're taking the Bibles out of a lot of places.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Wow.
There are movements trying to get the Bible excluded and calling it hate speech because it condemns homosexuality, for example, so it's hate speech.
Right.
And so therefore you can't have anything to do with it. And so here's the thing, is that this, I know that people believe in pre-trib rapture, all right? And if you want to discuss it with me, point, counterpoint, we can do that sometime. But I have a real problem with it when it becomes the thing Christians look to as deliverance. Instead of delivering through a tribulation, they look to be delivered from it. And I think that is a humongous detriment to the Christian faith in America. I think it's a tremendous weakness because I think it encourages too many Christians to sit down and just look up and say, "I'll get raptured out of here. I'm not going to worry about things. Let the world go to..."
Yeah, that's not good. We're still supposed to be history.
Yeah. Now, not all people are guilty of that, of course, who believe in pre-trib, but I'm just saying, overall,
right.
We are, as Christians, we're told to occupy. We are told to make disciples. I don't know. I don't even know of a single church. I don't know of a single church that I'm aware of that is supporting missionaries. Now, I'm not saying not there, but where, I don't know. Are they sending missionaries out foreign? Are they sending missionaries out here in our own place? They should be going door to door. They should be doing things. I believe there's big churches that can afford it to hire somebody to be the evangelist, and whose job it is to go out and be a missionary and support missionaries. To do
that's
that.
A good point.
Yeah, they should. They should.
Very good point. Very.
But
good
point. Yeah, it is. It is, and I believe
yes,
also
it is.
That churches.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I believe churches should support men and women to go to higher education. For seminary degrees, not MDivs for the ladies, but for to get educated, because it's expensive and it's time consuming. But we absolutely need people going out door to door, going to the beach, doing things, getting on radio. We need to do that. Would it be great if somebody could support this ministry that I'm on as an example, with financial support, in order to get it on even more stations? You know, I'm not saying I'm great or anything, but.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think.
Oh, no, you're all Bible, man. You're all Bible.
I'm very biblical. And a lot of pastors are not. And you get these moron false teachers like Benny Hinn and Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen, and they have millions of dollars. And when I teach the truth, people don't want to hear it. So this is just the nature of the difference between truth and error. But at any rate, Christians need to be, you know, more involved, you know, and... our church, in our church is weak. It's anemic overall. There's some good bad people out there, like John MacArthur, you know, and Randy Reams is a guy here in the local area. Good guy. And Josh.
Yeah, MacArthur's great. I love him.
Yeah, he is. A lot of good men out there who are teaching a lot of good stuff, but we just don't have enough Christians going out there. And I think that they should be supporting. I think if you have 10, you have churches that only have 100 people, and you can't support it necessarily. You can support a full-time guy or girl to go out and do mission work. But 10 churches could get together and they put in support for somebody, and that's their job, is to go door to door, to go to swap meets, to go to campuses, to witness, to evangelize. You know?
That's our job.
Oh, we got to go.
Okay, Matt.
Well, there you go, buddy. We're out of time. There's the music. Okay. God bless, Chuck. Keep calling back.
Thank
Amen.
You.
God bless.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Matt. Yep. Bye.
Okay. Hey, folks, if you want, you can give me a call tomorrow. Remember, I won't be on the air Friday or Monday, and that's just how it goes. May the Lord bless you, and have a good evening tonight. God bless everybody. Talk to you later. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.